are listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Here's your host, Sam Marcoux.
I was just a pallbearer for the first time in my life. That's a great thing to bring up at a party, but it's really sad. Why is it always guys that have to be pallbearers? Ladies, it's 2014. Pick up your dead aunt. If you've never been a pallbearer, it's basically like moving a really sad couch. After I was a pallbearer, I picked out all my pallbearers. I put it in my will. I'm going to have all my friends who never helped me move.
Predictably drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Sam Marcoux along with Matt Somerville. How you doing, Matt?
Good, buddy.
Good, good. Everything's great. That you heard Brendan Lynch at the top of the show. Good friend of mine, Mr. Brendan Lynch. Doing big things down in your neck of the woods. He was a headliner up here. He's now a comedy writer down there for some prestigious shows that I think I'm going to abstain from talking about right now.
Okay, okay. That's... Why?
A number of reasons. Well, it's one of those unwritten rules, as I've come to find out, that you really don't want to announce somebody else's news for them, even though it's been plastered on the internet at this point. But I tend to agree with them. He's a guy I consider a friend. He was very good to me early in my career, so I will respect his wishes. And,
that's good.
And leave it be. But congratulations to Brendan on all his success and nothing but continued success going forward.
Sounds like a funny guy. So what do you mean by unwritten rule?
So in all walks of life, as you know, you have it in the movie industry. There's unwritten rules in baseball, for example. You're not supposed to steal signs if you're in the batter's box. There's no actual rule against you just looking back and looking at the catcher and seeing what he's calling for a pitch. There's not an actual rule against that. But if
I thought there was.
No,
shit.
But if you were to do that, most likely you're going to get a baseball in the ear. You know what I mean? From the pitcher.
Okay. So, sure. Which also technically is not against the rules, correct?
I think it's up to the umpire's discretion whether they want to throw you out or not. But, I mean, I think you can throw a beanball at somebody and technically not be against the rules. Sure. Yes.
All right. I'm learning.
Yeah,
okay.
It's stuff like that. So those unwritten rules of life that that you're not supposed to break, that you're just instinctually supposed to know. And in fact, it gave me an idea, not only for this show. I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the unwritten rules of comedy and whether they're bullshit or not. But wouldn't it be nice if somebody just took the most obvious of unwritten rules in life and put it and just fucking wrote them down for once and put them in a book? Like,
in one of your trips to Reno, you should hook up with hook up with a truck driver. I would love to know the unwritten rules of truck driving, like when it's okay to do meth while driving, when it's not. What are the rules with the hookers that you get at the truck stop? You know, like that is a fascinating unwritten rule world that I would love to delve into.
I could actually do you one better. There is a comedian. He's an aspiring comedian out of Reno who happens to be a truck driver. Again, an unwritten rule. He doesn't want people to know what his day job is. So I will not mention him on the air, but I think he does listen to this program. So you know who you are. We'll just call him by his nickname, Tiny. And, I could probably get him on the show to interview. I think he's got a podcast up in Reno anyway. So that would be something we could actually explore, getting a truck driver on here and knowing what the unwritten rules are. That's kind of the whole point of this is that here on Predictably Drunk, you know, sometimes we talk about, life on the road. Sometimes we do lists about the top five or top worst, whatever. Sometimes we do just drunken storytelling. And this is kind of another subject that I think we're going to touch on from time to time. And that's going to be the unwritten rules of society. And in this case, we're talking about stand-up comedy. So I figure how we'll do this, Matt, is we'll just kind of go back and forth a little bit. I'll throw some of the unwritten rules out there. You let me know if you think they're bullshit or not. I'll explain why they're in place in terms of the comedy world. And I think that's what we'll do. But before we do that, I'm actually drinking. Wow. Well done. Decent little burp.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a tiny one, and it had to be tiny because of the timing. You know, you set me up, and I knocked it down. But, it wasn't as big as it could have been.
Well, I mean, that happens in life sometimes. Sometimes it's not as big as people expect it to be.
Well, let's not go there with me.
I was talking about burps, sir.
Right, sir. Yeah, yep, burps. Okay, so Proceed with. I would like to know, because this isn't my realm. This is your realm, and I would love to take a nap for a half hour, but I think I should probably chime in occasionally. I want to know what the unwritten rules of the comedy world is.
Sure, and I'm going to, and it, yeah. Well, one of them is you need to know how to speak. So that's number one.
Right. Okay.
I think also
I'm not cut out for that. No, I'm not cut out for that life.
No, that's why you record and you edit and you write and direct. That's better.
Yeah,
for
I stay
you.
In the shadows. Yeah, yeah.
That's what you call a producer in Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. So before we get into that, just to make sure that you do chime in, what are you riding side saddle right now? What are you drinking?
Oh, tonight I am drinking a little beer called it's Lagunitas.
Oh, yes.
And it is the little something.
Ooh, a little something ale, a little something something.
Yeah, yeah. Nice little pretty girl in the bottle.
A little pretty girl and a little pretty beer for which makes sense for your little pretty burp that you had not too long ago. Yeah,
I'm a little lady, and I love it because I'm drinking and getting drunk.
Lagunitas, as longtime listeners of the show will know, is based out of Petaluma, California, up here in Northern California. They actually have a facility in Chicago, Illinois now. They've expanded to the East Coast, or at least the Midwest, with an East Coast distribution wing. They also famously sued Sierra Nevada, where we did a taste test between Lagunitas IPA and Hop Hunter IPA right here on the air with Frankie Marcos, the great Frankie Marcos, way back when, over a year ago. So Lagunitas has gotten a lot of play on here. I'm actually drinking one of their rivals. I'm drinking possibly my favorite beer of all time, Pliny the Elder from Russian River Brewery.
Oh, I love that shit. I love it.
Yeah, Pliny the Elder was kind of what got me hooked on craft beer way back when. My friend Brandon turned me onto it years and years and years ago. And I haven't had it in a while. And a friend of mine was going through Sonoma County, stopped by the Russian River Brewery on 3rd Street in Santa Rosa, picked me up a couple bottles, and I've been waiting to drink them here on the air of Predictably Drunk. So bask in our glory of the awesome North Bay beers that both Matt and I are drinking while you listen to us talk about unwritten rules, y'all.
Now, could that move of Lagunitas have anything to do with Heineken? I believe that they have sort of a partnership now.
I have no idea. That's news to me. They're partners with Heineken now?
Yeah, that's what I heard. It is just a development in the last year. Hopefully that will not affect anything to do with Lagunitas and the quality of their beer, because I have never been myself a fan of Heineken.
Well, let me ask you that, though. I mean, before we get into this, why would it affect the quality of the beer? I mean, I don't get that. I mean, that happens a lot when, craft beer is bought up, microbreweries are bought up by these larger beer conglomerates, and people go, well, I can't drink that anymore. It's like, why? They're not going to all of a sudden, if Coors buys something, they're not going to all of a sudden dump out the good stuff of Sculpin IPA and drop in Coors Light and call it Sculpin IPA. That's just not how it works.
Because clearly some asshole at Heineken is sticking his dick in the beer, and he might just want to do that with the Lagunitas batch.
First of all, you say Lagunitas weird. I think it's
Lagwin?
It's Lagunitas. No, Lagunitas. See, you got me fucked up. Lagunitas. Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
No, not Nuitas. You threw like a W in there. Like you're Lagunitas.
Is it Lagunitas?
It's Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas, not Nuitas. Like you.
So I go Gwyn. I go Lagunitas.
Yeah,
there's a GUI situation happening.
No.
There. No?
No, it's Lagunitas.
I have the bottle in front of me.
There's not a GUI at all.
I'm insisting that it's my way, not even looking at the bottle.
Yeah, look at the label, you jerk. Maybe Heineken changed the changing of the spelling or something. Maybe you're onto something.
Yeah, there's like fucking 8 E's and 9 I's in Heineken, well, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, they might be fucking with that as well.
That's not true. You're just drunk, but that's okay, because this is predictably drunk, as Ross Baker told you at the top of the show. Shout out to Ross Baker. All right, so some of the unwritten rules. We already talked about one. One of them here in the comedy world is if one of your friends, one of your colleagues, one of your buddies out there has news about a big show, a big job, big promotion within the comedy / writing, acting, producing world, it is not your job to announce that on their behalf on any sort of social media. If you do, you run the risk of possibly fucking up the official announcement that that person has either themselves or that their boss has planned. So rules.
Now I have a question. Immediately have a question. So what are the rules in terms of the person issuing that news? you know, maybe he should keep it to himself to avoid the news getting out before it should.
Now, I do think there is a yin and a yang to this. I believe if you, as the person who has the news, decides to announce it on any sort of social media, and I'm not talking like big news coming up, I'll tell you when I can tell you, but if you say, hey, I've got this big job that I'm doing, I landed this big show, I'm going to be headlining the Greek Theater, whatever the news may be, as if you announce it, I think most people are going to consider that to be public knowledge at that point, unless you specifically and explicitly put in that announcement, please do not announce this yourself on any other social media. There's going to be press releases coming out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now,
right, because if Yahoo News is like, hey, this guy got shot, like CNN isn't going to call up Yahoo News and be like, dude, come on, we were going to do that. Like, we were going to say that, but you said it already, you know, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there's an unwritten rule in journalism that you should have two sources before you ever go public with a story, too. You need to be able to confirm it twice over. That's an unwritten rule. I mean, you could go out there, and I think most people do, with rumor and innuendo and not having two solid sources. So there's a reason why these are unwritten rules. It's because it's not an actual law. So that's one of them. In terms of being out on the stage, here's a big one. I think it's the biggest one in comedy, and I think you can probably guess what it is. In terms of performance, what's the number one unwritten rule when it comes to comedy, Matt?
Oh, good Christ. Don't steal jokes.
Don't steal material, at least knowingly and willingly. Now, there's going to be times where you write a joke that's very similar to somebody else's, and that can be an honest mistake. I think that's totally fine as long as it's pointed out to you and you cease and desist at that point or change the joke, whatever the case may be. But if you're stealing material, whether it be from another comedian or what's being popular now these days, is people are just stealing shit from the internet. There's like memes that are out there, funny memes, you know, things that make you chuckle, and people are just ripping that off and putting it in their act and pretending like it's an original thought while on stage. Well, guess what, morons? You're going to be found out. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be blackballed. It's a good way to get yourself unhired for future gigs. I did a gig in Hawaii about a year ago, and one of the comedians that was up there was killing it. You know, getting tons of laughs here, there, and everywhere. And I'm not very good about listening to other people's sets. But I was definitely aware of the audience going nuts. And I'm like, wow, this person's doing very well. Well, my sister was in the audience and told me that comedian literally stole every single one of their jokes from internet memes. I've seen every single one of those jokes in picture form, in meme form on the internet. So,
yeah, like Captain Picard.
Face palming and shit like that. Yeah, exactly right. So it's one of those things where all respect is now gone for that comedian. And if that comedian ever came to me looking for work, the answer would be, well, do you have an original fucking thought in your head yet or no? Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to try out. So that's one of the things that is the biggest thing in comedy in terms of an unwritten rule is just don't steal material. Again, there's no way to copyright jokes on stage. So you could, in theory, go out there and just start ripping off my shit or ripping off Joe Rogan's shit or ripping off anybody's shit if you really wanted to. But it's a good way to get yourself punched in the face and a good way to get yourself blackballed from comedy clubs here, there, and everywhere.
I mean, first of all, know that Joe Rogan exists. And Joe Rogan, for anybody who doesn't know, is the fucking joke-stealing police. He will find you out. He will report you. He will talk about it for fucking 4 hours on his podcast. And he will make it known to the internet that you are, in fact, a joke stealer. I think that this is a subject that can get very, very complicated. It comes down to matters of opinion. It comes down to cadence. It comes down to inflection. Like, you know, it could be the same material spoken differently. It could be different material spoken similarly. It gets really fucking cloudy and really ugly with stand-up comics, I think. I've seen. I don't know how you feel about it.
No, it's absolutely the truth, especially when you're getting into current events, hot topic type humor, political humor. You're going to run into a lot of jokes that are similar to each other. I mean, how many Donald Trump jokes have we run into since he started running for president here in the United States? It's oversaturated. You're going to eventually write the same joke that somebody else has, or you're going to overhear it and rip it yourself, et cetera, et cetera. There's ways around that. I mean, first of all, when you write a joke, you should really do yourself a favor and do a cursory, at the very least, do a cursory search on the internet. Google that shit. Make sure that it's not out there. If it is and it's in the internet, it's going to pop up as you type in what your joke is. I've had that happen where I thought I had an original thought, typed it in, and went, oh, nope, that's actually a Chris Hardwick joke. So obviously I'd heard.
Is that crushing for you? Is that difficult?
No, because what it tells me is I probably heard it at some level, forgot that I heard it, and then in my brain thought, oh, I wrote this joke, it's very good. And then it turns out, well, yes, it's a very good joke because I heard another comedian who's more famous than I am, you know, say it. Sometimes that shit happens. I mean, I wrote another joke one time where I thought it was really good and I was just about to debut it. And I mentioned it to another comedian and they said, you know, that's a Matt Gubser joke, right? And Matt Gubser's been on this program before. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't realize that that was a Matt Gubser joke. But I went and looked it up and sure as shit, it was a Matt Gubser joke. So sometimes jokes get into your head that you're not even intending to steal. You'd think it's an original thought, but if you do a search, you'll notice, oops, somebody else has already had that thought. Now, other times,
I think you're about to bring up what I was about to bring up, but go ahead. Nope. Let's see if it's the same.
Nope, go for it.
Well, what I was going to say is, has this ever happened to you where you write something that you discover is wholeheartedly original? You have it on a piece of paper, and before you get the chance to go live with that, you then see, like, maybe you're even at a live event and another comic going on before you says something too similar to the joke that you originally had thought was original, and now you have to cut that out of your act.
Absolutely. I mean, that you have to self-edit. You have to be aware of it. There's ways you can play off it. I mean, if you hear a joke about, you know, I have a joke about my friend being paranoid when he smokes weed and always thinks the cops are here. And it turns out he's actually a cop, you know, and it's a great bit, you know, and obviously on stage that's extended out a little bit and there's a lot of laughter that gets involved.
Sure.
Now, am I the first comic to ever have a joke about being paranoid smoking weed? Absolutely not.
No.
Am I the only comic on the stage that night that's going to talk about smoking weed? Probably not. So have to pay attention a little bit to the people that are up ahead of you. And if there's a joke that's extremely similar, I mean, eerily similar, you kind of have to go, all right, you know, maybe I take that one out of my act. Now, that specific joke, I would actually be really pissed off because that's based on a true story. And that would tell me that somebody has probably seen my act and is now lifting it if they were to use a very, very similar joke to that. But if somebody tells a joke about being paranoid while smoking weed but has nothing to do with the cops or anything else, then I think you go, well, it's similar enough that maybe you reference the fact that that person was talking about weed and then you go into your act. Or you just, you know, if you think it's going to cause a problem – and that person's already did it. Well, guess what? You tip your cap to them and say, I've got to edit that out of my jokes tonight.
And is that I mean, this might be getting off the topic of what is an unwritten rule, but that sounds like, you know, you plan a gig, you schedule a gig, you tell everybody to go, you're all excited, you get to the venue, you see all the people there, and then for whatever reason, you feel like you have to alter your set like 15 minutes before you go on. That sounds to me like nerve-wracking bullshit that I would be angry at like the world because I had to do that.
No, because I mean, if you're on a show where you have to edit that much, there's a bigger problem going on there. I mean, if you book everybody who's got the same exact act, it's going to wear thin and that's on you, or it's on the booker who booked it. But no, usually you don't have to self-edit that much. It's you know, at most one, maybe two jokes here, there, and everywhere. And usually I find that that's more like a roast type of atmosphere where,
I see,
you know, people are going to hit the same race buttons. They're going to hit the same fat jokes or whatever the case may be. It's usually not when it comes to your original material.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so what are some other unwritten rules with comedy?
Yeah, let's stick to the stage, because I think there's some unwritten rules when it comes to how you conduct yourself. There's some unwritten rules about how you travel, how you talk to people. But for right now, number one, be original. Don't steal material, at least not knowingly. Number two, don't run the light. Stick to your time. That is probably the biggest fucking issue that club owners have, that other comedians have. If you're scheduled to do 15 minutes and you go up there and you bully that microphone and do 20 to 25 minutes, you are the biggest fucking asshole I've ever met in my life. Worse than somebody who's stolen material.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's back it up here, because I think you have done this, but I think that there's different reasons. I think that there are variables here.
For the record, I have pretty much broken every single one of these rules, which is why I know them now. I should have probably said that up front. These are rules that I have learned through experience not to do.
I think that's important to announce. Yeah.
Yeah. 25 minutes into the show. no, but I mean, yes, I've run the light before, and sometimes the worst time I ever ran the light is because I decided to do a gig without my glasses on, and I can't see shit without my glasses on, but I wanted to have some photos of me on the stage without my glasses, which if I take pictures with my glasses on, you can't see my eyes, and I was being very fucking, you know, narcissistic is probably too strong of a word, but basically I wanted some clean photos of my face on stage at the San Jose Improv. I completely ran the light to the point where they actually had to play me off with music, which I've talked about on here before. It's super embarrassing. You don't want to do it. You're a jerk if you do that. You're a jerk to the audience. You're a jerk to the rest of the show. You throw the entire flow off, and not only for the other comedians, but for the club itself. They got to drop checks at certain times. They got to be out of the club at certain times. Sometimes somebody's just renting a room, and they have a hard curfew of when they got to get out of there. They might need to get out of there at 11 o'clock. And if you're running to, you know, 10:15 and you're supposed to be off at 10, well, guess what? You've just now pushed the show an extra 15 minutes. They either may have to pay to keep the room longer, or they're going to have to cut the headliner set. Or if you're the headliner and you do that, you know, it's kind of a dickhead move. So you definitely don't
want to do it. Sam, I have a great question here. What I've deemed in my head is a great question here.
Callers from the audience, Matt Somerville.
And I don't know if this is something that you can answer from direct experience of your own, but maybe other comics have told you what happens in this scenario. What if a comic just never fucking gets off the stage? Like, what if they've run the light? They are long past when the light came on, and they are basically holding everyone hostage with their comedy. What happens at that point?
Everyone handles it a little bit differently. I mean, most major clubs will shut off the microphone because they have access to all that audio equipment up in the booth. So they'll just shut off the microphone. They'll play music over the top just to kind of drown you out. Smaller clubs will physically, I mean, if it gets to a point where they have to physically pull you off the stage, they'll just go pull you off the fucking stage.
Wow.
There's a female comic who I won't name, who I did shows with, who I thought was always a little bit odd. And I recently did some shows where she had performed before, and I said, hey, whatever happened to this person? And they told me that that's almost exactly what happened, is she ended up having kind of a mental breakdown on the stage, was rolling around, screaming into the microphone, kind of trying to do this quote-unquote alt comedy thing, and they physically just had to go remove her from the stage. People were – the audience was walking out. They were throwing stuff at her and booing her, and probably with great reason based on the stories I heard of what she pulled on stage. And so it happens. But basically, if it gets to that point, they will just send somebody out that will pick you up and toss you right off the stage.
Does this always also happen with someone who's just so fucking bad that, like, you literally feel like you're dying listening? I've had that where I'm in the crowd listening to someone, and they're so awful that I feel like my life is draining from my very fucking body. Like, do things get cut off short in that scenario as well?
Yeah, so sometimes – now, that's the other part of this. You don't want to run the light. You don't want to go over. You want to stick to your time. You also don't want to short the light, because that can be the same exact thing. Now you're throwing everything off where your host has to go back up there and do extra time, or you got to throw extra time to somebody else who may not be prepared for it. With the exception of if you're doing so bad, sometimes they will light you immediately. A friend of mine, Jeff Koenig, he tries to do comedy, and I will jokingly every time
he tries to do comedy.
Every time he gets on stage, I will literally walk over to the light and turn it on as soon as he gets on stage just to fuck with him. So, I mean, there are times where you're going to get lit early. And in fact, sometimes it happens on accident. I got lit early recently up in Crystal Bay, because I was doing kind of a weird set where I was doing like 6 minutes and then another 6 minutes. And then, like, you know, I was kind of up and down all night. And then the last set, I was supposed to do 7. So a total of about 20 to 25 minutes for the entire show. But I got lit super early, which I was fine with. I was like, okay, you know, whatever, I'll bring the headliner up now. And then I found out later they apologized to me and said, hey, you know, we lit you about 2 minutes early, which was no big deal because the show was fine and they were ready for the headliner and all that. But it's one of those things where sometimes you get lit early because there's a miscommunication, which was actually going to be one of my unwritten rules. Whoever is running the running the clock, whoever's running the light, make sure that they are aware of how much time you are supposed to do, and vice versa.
Make sure they own a watch.
Make sure they own a watch. Make sure they're timing it. Make sure that everybody is on the same page, because it can lead to confusion. It can lead to getting lit early and you struggling through and fighting through a set to say, oh, God, I got to end this, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Or you saying, oh, that's an accidental light when they really mean to get you off. So, yeah, I mean, it happens for sure.
And I should ask as well, as a variable, these rules with the light – either coming in early or going past a light, that all changes per who you are, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Now, keep in mind, a lot of these rules don't necessarily apply for headliners when it comes to timing. A lot of headliners, when they sign their contract for the club, they write in, hey, look, yeah, you're going to give me an hour worth of time, but I'm allowed an extra half hour to go over if I want to. You know, it's kind of at the headliner's discretion. I have times where I'm not allowed to swear, but the headliner is. And that could go from that could go from night to night. I mean, I could headline one night where they say, yeah, go ahead and swear. I could work for the very same guy at the very same venue the next day, and he goes, I don't want you swearing tonight because you're not headlining.
Why is that? What's with the swearing rules?
Well, sometimes people rely on swearing too much. I mean, they use fuck as a punchline as opposed to adding anything of value to a punchline that's already good, if that makes any sense.
Fuck is every one of my punchlines.
Yeah, and you know, and sometimes you need that word for a joke to work, but most times you don't, in my opinion. And that's kind of some of these old school guys, they look at it and go, hey, look, if you can't be funny without saying fuck every 2 minutes, then you're really not that funny.
Right.
And that's kind of the mindset.
The Will Smith argument. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And now they leave it to the headliners because they assume that since they hired the headliner knows how to use it, right? It's at their discretion, which mm-hmm. is fine. I mean, I got no problem with that. If you're working for somebody, they have rules, you follow their rules, verbal, unwritten, or otherwise, in my opinion.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Moving on. In terms of appearance on stage, this is something that I agree with. I've seen people do it, and there are some exceptions, but really, comics, don't wear flip-flops. Don't wear shorts. You look like a fucking moron. You look like an amateur if you're on stage wearing shorts. The only people that can get away with it are somebody like Gabriel Iglesias, because that guy's a monster on stage, and you're not going to tell him not to wear shorts. Or if you're doing comedy outside during the day, during a festival, that's a little bit differently. But
yeah.
If you're in a club, if you're inside, put on some fucking pants, put on some closed-toe shoes, and go to work.
Right. Yeah. No, I see that point. And I wasn't going to argue your clothing unwritten rule. I was going to argue the fact that Gabriel Iglesias kills it on stage, and not my favorite.
Whether you like him or not doesn't matter. The guy sells out arenas.
I know, and it's crazy. But the idea of I'm fat, laugh at me, like it just gets old after a while.
Now here's one.
Like Chris Farley fucking nailed that. Way back when, and killed it. And as far as I'm fat, laugh at me, like Chris Farley will always be the number one in that scenario.
Yeah, his brother Kevin's a little bit odd. I'll talk to you about that off the air.
Now
here's one that if you're hosting, this bothers me when I host, and people don't like to host because they think it's like demeaning. And I like hosting. Hosting a lot of times you get more stage time than everyone else, and people don't understand that. Like, you know, it's like they're going to see you more than they see you, you know, featuring usually.
Right. How many times per average show would an audience see you and get time from you?
Depending on how the show is set up, your host will usually do about 10 minutes up front and then maybe another 5 later. So you're doing about 15, and you know, a lot of times they don't want you doing jokes in between sets, but you can usually get one or two, you know, things off that reference the comedian that was just leaving or the comedian coming up. So you get a chance to really just be funny all night long, in my opinion. So that's why I don't mind hosting so much. It also allows you to, if you're a good host, you're going to get hired forever. I mean, that's how I get my gigs on the road, is that I'm a good host. I can remember the guys' names. I can remember their credits. I can go out there and pump up the club. I can promote shows down the road without having to look at my notes. It's a skill that I have in terms of being an onstage performer. So for me, you know, being a good host is been beneficial, and that I get good work, you know.
Yeah, I haven't seen you host yet, but I completely understand what you're saying. You'd make a great host.
Now, here's the thing. To that point, when you're hosting, you do have to remember the names in the credits. If somebody's got a really hard fucking name to say, ask them 2, 3, 4 times over how to say it and just practice it before you go out there. Now, I understand that sometimes it can be kind of embarrassing to be like, look, I know I already asked you your name, but I can't remember it. Trust me, as somebody who's had that happen to me, I'd rather you get my name right than go out there and have to correct your mistake, because it makes you look stupid, it makes me look stupid, and I'm going to have to sit there and trash you as the host for getting things wrong. And it's a good way for me as the owner or the booker comes to me and go, well, how's that guy as a host? Well, he can't fucking remember names. He can't remember the remember my credits. He can't remember.
It might be a fun bit to before you go to announce a person with a difficult name to pronounce, you have them run out, pronounce it for you, run back, and then you pronounce it again for them, and then they run back out again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of time. I mean, that might be a lot of time. If you've got more of a loose show, you can do something like that. Now, the converse to that, if you are working with your host and you give them an intro that's like 3 minutes long, you're an asshole just like the person who runs the light. You can't make your intro too long, too silly, or too stupid. Like, this happens a lot with younger comics where they're like, oh, he was voted, you know, sexiest car driver on Interstate 80. And it's like, no, that's not an actual fucking thing. You made it up. You're trying to be funny. I don't need to tell your shitty jokes for you. That's why they gave you 4 minutes to go out there and bomb on your own. Don't make me look stupid because you happen to be stupid. So I don't like to edit people's intros as they give them to me unless they're awful. And I've had that happen recently where there's a comedian. He's about 8 months to a year in, and he wants to add all of this weird shit that he thinks funny, funny. I'm like, do your own bits. I'm not going to do your bits for you.
You can say your stupid shit for yourself. Like, don't make me say your stupid shit for you.
It's fucking ridiculous. So don't do that. If you're a feature, you're a middling act, or you're, you know, opening, don't make your intro so goddamn stupid. And if you don't have credits, that's fine. Just say, hey, I'm from, you know, Jacksonville, Mississippi. I can just say, hey, this next guy's from Jacksonville, Mississippi. Give it up big for John Inbred. You know, like, it doesn't fucking matter.
I feel like we've only really breached the iceberg tip of comedy do's and don'ts.
There's
here.
All kinds of
but I feel like, because I've been myself an audience member, I feel like I don't think a lot of people understand a lot of what goes into making a comedy show happen and happen succinctly and coherently and in a controlled environment.
No, and most of these rules are from one comic to another. I haven't even really broached the subject of what the audience should or should not be doing.
Oh, well, that's another fucking podcast.
That's a whole other
sure.
podcast. I mean, I think this is something that we can hit a few times over. I think really one other piece of advice as an unwritten rule, and this is violated all the time, from headliners down to opening acts. If you're working at a club and you've got a green room or you've got a server that is bringing you drinks, I don't care if it's water, I don't care if it's soda, I don't care if it's alcohol, I don't care if it's food, you tip that server. I don't care if it's a dollar. A dollar goes a long way for those people who work super fucking hard. And
who doesn't tip that person?
You would be surprised, Matt, at how many comedians will not tip or just don't think about tipping the wait staff. They kind of walk in and think like they're the shit because they're the talent. Well, guess what? This is the part that kills me about it. Who do you think the owners of these clubs and bars and comedy rooms talk to the most?
Right.
It's not the comics and it's not the audience. It's their staff. And if the staff says, you know, that guy's a dick every time he comes in here, or they say, hey, I didn't really catch the show. Was that guy funny tonight? I just tried him out. Was he any good? And you're a dickhead to that person. What do you think they're going to say?
Also, it's going to be a hell of a lot harder to bang that waitress if you don't tip them.
See, you're not going to be able to get the tip if you don't give a tip. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just not going to happen.
Tips worldwide.
Tips for tips. So there's a good tip for all the young comics out there. I don't care if they just gave you water or whatever. Just give them a buck. It doesn't have to be a lot. Give them a dollar. Give them $2, whatever the case may be. Tell them thank you for their troubles. And you know what? It'll go a long way towards you possibly getting more work down the road at that certain club. Trust me on that. That'll help.
Be reasonable.
Absolutely. Absolutely be reasonable. Well, shit, man, I'm all fired up. I'm going to have to go yell at some comedians
You should just take a Xanax, man, and relax and go to sleep and
finish
maybe
drinking this beer.
And with NyQuil, like a NyQuil shot with a beer back, I think. Just take it easy. We need to bring that blood pressure down.
That's, and I think mixing cough syrup with alcohol is the best way to do that. I believe you are correct.
I'm a doctor. at least, you don't dispute me.
At least you edit that. You edit one on TV. So, well, look, I'll tell you what. We'll table the rest of them. I'd like to hear some of the unwritten rules of Hollywood here at some point too. So we'll kind of make this a thing. Yeah, we'll make this a thing as we go forward. But for now, why don't we call it a night? What do you say?
I like that idea. Yeah, we've been talking enough, and these people have had enough, I think.
It's one of those unwritten rules where you need to shut up after, you know, 35 to 40
minutes. We're
aware
of our own unwritten rules.
Yeah, so you know, we have run our own light. So thank you guys for sticking with us, even though we're talking about unwritten rules here on Predictably Drunk. Smart people talking about stupid things. I don't even know why I'm saying this. That's Ross Baker's job to bring us out here. But before we do
that, let him do his thing.
Yeah, I'll let him do his thing. But before we do that, you can catch me April 21st at the Downtown Theater in Fairfield, California. Wednesday, April 27th at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California. As well as Sunday, May 1st, Sacramento Punchline. As part of the Future of Comedy Showcase. The future is now, ladies and gentlemen. But Maddie, thank you once again for another fun episode.
Always fun, Sammy.
Yep, and this is Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Ross Baker, take us out, and don't screw up the outro, what?
Come on, man. Jesus. Fucking be a professional.
Fucking man with a great voice and just a 10-cent brain. I can't believe it.
God damn it.
Fucking Ross.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. I don't think that any